Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Matt Maher, welcome to Australia and welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
This isn't your first trip, of course.
No. It's turning into an annual excursion.
So many people would have maybe for the first time been introduced to you and your work at last year's World Youth Day.
Yes. Yeah. The traveling thing is only something that's really happened in the past 4 or so years. I've really spent about, 10 years just sort of in the local church in the Phoenix area, being a worship leader and kind of writing songs along the way for the church. And it's only in the past couple of years that it seems like God sort of, opened up doors for a traveling ministry. All of a sudden now I find myself traveling to different places around the world, which is a huge honor.
I want to talk about that transition actually in just a second.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Matt Maher the boy as he was growing up in Canada. Tell me about your family background and tell me about where music fit into the family.
Well, where I grew up, the culture in Newfoundland is very much similar, I think, to Australia, just in terms of, I think there's a strong sense of family, a strong sense of community, and people are very friendly, with each other. There's just a great rapport amongst citizens. And where I was kind of raised, I had an aunt and uncle lived next door. They had 4 kids, so there was like 6 kids between 2 households, and everybody on my street, we were all around the same age. And so kind of grew up in this just environment of family and community. And in the midst of that, everybody went to church on Sunday. It was just part of what you did, but it was sort of that thing that you did on Sundays for an hour a week, and that was sort of it, I was, kind of raised in the Catholic Church and I have some fond memories of being a child and going to church and singing and kind of along that way, my mom sang in the choir, and it was sort of quickly discovered that music was sort of one of those things that I was gifted at, but it was also just something I loved doing. I just had a genuine appreciation for it, and it was the type of thing that when I did it, I felt this connection to something greater than me, but I had no idea really what it was. And, I think in a lot of common places along the eastern seaboard of North America, faith isn't necessarily something that, it's not necessarily a fundamental element that's driving your life. It's more of something that's sort of an additive on the side.
Yeah, and a little tack on.
Yeah, and I never questioned the existence of God or Jesus. It was more so, I didn't really come to an understanding, or it wasn't presented to me, just the reality and the scope of what he had done for me.
So how did that come about? How did you hear that?
It basically came from, I think, from a place of openness that came out of, a traumatic moment. And I think that we all have those in our life and, moments where people let us down or just tragedy happens. Sometimes it's a death in the family. Sometimes it's an illness. And in this case, for me, it was my parents got separated when I was 20. And my mother moved back to the States because she was American. And so I found myself kind of wanting to move west back towards America, kind of thinking, well, I could use a change of scenery. And along the way, though, I was starting to ask these kind of bigger life questions of who am I? What's my life going to be about? And it was really in the process of doing that that I headed out to Arizona. And I find it ironic that I moved to the desert because it says in Hosea, I will allure her into the desert and speak to her heart. And I mean, literally, that's what happened. I went out into the desert, and the day after I moved, my cousin said, do you want to go to church with me? And I said, sure. And so I went to church. And what I encountered there was a community full of people who had intention. They weren't there just because it was the thing you did, because it was the thing your parents did. They were there because they wanted to be there, because they were invested in being there, because this was a foundation for their whole life. And because they were doing that, it gave me permission and freedom to ask the same question. And really, it was in that context, and it was a Catholic church, and it happened to be sort of a community, of kind of spirit-filled Catholics. So there were people who, at the heart of everything they did, was this whole idea that all of this, the reason we're doing all this is because we have a relationship with God and a relationship with Jesus. And it was kind of through that I just started rediscovering my faith and kind of really, really rediscovering, who this was all really about, which was Jesus.
And here you are now. So you have this rediscovered faith, or maybe it was actually discovered for the first time in a personal way.
Absolutely.
You'd already discovered you had musical giftings. And so you start singing and you start performing and you start really worship leading for your local church.
Yeah, and it was a thing of I said yes to Christ, and then they said, okay, we need help in the youth ministry department. And so
you're enlisted.
Yeah, it's pretty much that's the case, you know. I mean, if you say yes to God, buckle up because He's going to use you, you know. And
didn't Rich Mullins have something to do with this?
Well, what had happened was I was at this one church for a year, and then I ended up at a much larger community called St. Tim's in Mesa, which is right next to Phoenix. And really around the time I got this second position, Rich Mullins had come to this church and had written a musical that he wanted to he was testing out, you know, kind of to see how it worked when other churches did it. And so this church, St. Tim's, performed the musical, and I got cast in it. The role of this character was a guy who played piano in a saloon, and unbeknownst to anybody, nobody knew this, but when I lived in Canada, I paid my way through the first 3 years of college by playing piano in a hotel
bar. In the saloon,
bar.
Huh?
And it's just sort of, that's just God, you know? And sort of my ongoing kind of conversion and my ongoing deepening of my relationship with Christ, that was a very significant moment for me. And also hung around with this guy, Rich Mullins, who I had no idea who he was. Because I hadn't grown up in the church. So I had no idea, you know, here's the guy who wrote Awesome God or Sometimes by Step. It's just, he just seemed like a really cool guy. It was in the context that I ended up at St. Tim's, and 10 years later, you know, I am where I am now. And yeah. But really it was a thing of just getting plugged into the local church and serving where there was a need and serving where God seemed to want me to serve right now and kind of forgetting about the future.
Matt Maher is with us on Open House, theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. So how are you finding that transition to then stepping out of the local church where you're just focused, and now you're having the invitations coming from all around the world?
Well, it's been a very gradual process, and honestly, it's something that I was very reluctant, and so I've tried to slowly step into it and basically give God a lot of space to steer the boat if He wants to steer it another way. Because I think that there's a danger just in younger generations now, there's a word that gets kind of thrown around a lot, not even in church circles, but just in general, that there's this sense of entitlement, particularly in the States, you know, that it's like we're this culture where we have everything at our, you know, that's accessible and readily available.
Choices generation.
Right. And so, but that doesn't mean that we're necessarily entitled to it. And I really feel like, you know, I'm entitled to whatever God wants to bless me with, not whatever, you know, necessarily I immediately want. What I've learned in my life is that my life would flow so much better if I just be satisfied with Him and let His provision kind of take place. And so in that, I guess what that looks like is when I started traveling, I felt the call to kind of God saying, I want you to get ready. You're going to be traveling. Where I was in 2005. And so I said, okay, well, where am I going to go? And then all of a sudden, these emails started coming in from churches. And they were saying, would you come and do a workshop with our church worship team? Or would you come and lead worship at this youth event? And so I'd say, okay, God, I don't have a band. So I don't have musicians to travel with. That summer, this group of guys materialized. Like, literally one night, I'd been doing a weekly worship night for high school students. And one night, one drummer had left because he was kind of discerning kind of where his future was going. Another, the bass player went to medical school. And that night, the drummer and the bass player that showed up to substitute, it was at the end of the night. I remember looking, and God just spoke clearly into my heart. There you go. There's your band. But it's been a very gradual process. Mm-hmm. And so I really encourage people who feel called that they have this desire to kind of serve the church on a bigger level. I say, like, God does not see as man sees. And I think a lot of time we put so much weight and precedence into people based on their platform, but God doesn't see that. To God, me connecting with one human being is just as important to Him as if I was to connect with 20,000 people.
Yeah, it's great you've got that attitude, because it's so easy then to kind of step out of that attitude when you have got 20,000 people in front of you, and more you're actually having those kinds of people in front of you. But World Youth Day had more than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, World Youth Day was like, well, at one point we played it. Somebody's like, do you realize you just played in front of 180,000 people? And I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, numbers don't matter to God at the heart of the gospel is this intimate connection with a person, Jesus.
Yep.
And all the most amazing encounters that He has are these individual encounters with people. And so everything that we get to do, everything I get to do, hopefully is helping facilitate at some point a moment in someone's journey for that to happen.
Matt Maher is our guest on Open House tonight. Matt, the new album is called Alive Again, and you've had an opportunity to co-write some songs with Chris Tomlin and Matt Redman and a whole bunch of other people. What has that process been like?
You know, it's great in a way because, like I said, at a core, a heart sort of principle of what I've been brought up in and really grown to maturity and faith about is just at the heart of my life as a Christian is a life lived with God and for God and a life lived in the local church and in community. And so before, when I used to write songs, they would come out of the context of serving in the local church. And now they sort of come out in a little bit of context of that of leading in different kind of scenarios and movements. And then also now writing with other worship leaders. Mm-hmm. And so there still is a sense of community. It's just, it's shifted a little bit. But the neat thing about it is that they bring with them their experiences of being in the local church and their experiences and, you know, living their life. And so there's this continual thing of these songs are kind of being birthed out of a context of community.
And I love the fact that there is this collaboration that's happening right across denominations as well. And I think probably your music is actually an example of that in the sense that your style has probably been influenced by outside of the Catholic Church. You are a Catholic then performing this week at Hillsong.
Yeah.
So there's this lovely connection. And then, of course, the collaborations with Chris Tomlin and Matt Redman is that the Christian church is actually, the capital C church is actually so much broader.
Yeah, and I think the Holy Spirit's really bringing people together. I think there's this new breath of air that's happening where all these walls are coming down and divisions that, you know, that exist. It's not like we're pretending we don't agree on certain things, but we're just saying there's so much that we agree upon, you know, that the world would know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It makes so much sense that we should come together in moments where we can worship together and pray together and even create together.
Matt Maher, enjoy the rest of your time here in Australia. It's been great catching up with you.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.